Special coverage from the New Orleans Investment Conference is brought to you by Victoria Gold Corp, leading UConn's new gold rush.
Welcome back to SOAR Financially, and yet again, welcome back to New Orleans and the New Orleans Investment Conference. My name is Kai Hoffman. I'm the @JR Mining Guy on Twitter and the CEO of the SOAR Financial Group. Thank you so much for joining us here, and Rich Chekin, thank you so much for joining us here as well.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Rich, you're the president and COO over at Asset Strategies International, yeah, and we got to spend some time over the last couple of days together, which was really nice. I really enjoyed that.
I don't know how we haven't met in 20 years now
at this point.
But I'm glad we finally have.
Were you here last year?
I was, yes.
I have no idea.
That's okay.
But
we're found now.
We were on a precious metals panel together that I got to moderate. And I want to regurgitate some of the discussion we've had there and drive some more points home as well. That some things you've mentioned stuck with me. You and actually Dana Samuelson mentioned that I want to follow up on and get a clearer picture on. Okay. But let's set the scene a little bit. Of course, our discussion is going to be very gold heavy. But let's talk about the economy first and where things are headed. And how do you see, how's the economy doing?
Well, we all listened to Chair Powell, right, on Wednesday, and he seems to think that the economy is pretty darn good, right? That it's the labor market's resilient, that the consumers and the consumer demand is much stronger than they ever anticipated, that he thinks, he attributes this to the strength of the household balance sheets, I think is what he said, and they underestimated the savings in the individual households. And I think he's interpreting the data wrong.
There
that's not for a start.
There are definitely cracks appearing in the system,
There's
right?
No question. So. I think the system's cracking everywhere. So, you know, when I look at the economy, I'm trying to look at more like practical things. And I know the GDP numbers came out, but they're not commenting on how much of that was public spending versus how much was private spending. And that's a concern to me because a lot of it was public spending. I don't think that's how you grow an economy.
Because you don't create any value. It was 4.9% was GDP growth. And when that number came out, I had to scratch my head because we were 2.1% the quarter before, a massive jump, like it was a doubling, more than a double in GDP growth. And I was like, where is that coming from? Based on what I'm seeing, we have higher mortgage rates, higher interest rates. Like, what's fueling growth? Like, did you take a look under the hood?
I didn't look deeply under the hood, but I know, I want to say nearly 50% of that is public spending. Yeah.
Inflation Act, or Inflation Reduction Act, CHIPS Act.
No question.
Things like that.
Yeah. Things that are not going to generate anything for the economy. So I don't call that growth.
No.
The other thing they commented on is, you know, the fact that consumption is climbing. I don't attribute that to a resilient economy, resilient households, strong balance sheets in the households, or high savings. I attribute higher consumption numbers basically to people buying the same needs and necessities that they had a year ago or 2 years ago, but those numbers are inflated now because all those products cost more. They're not buying anything new. They're not increasing their spending. They're not going down different paths. They're buying the same things. It's just costing more.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
So Paul spoke on Wednesday. I think we both watched CNBC that morning and saw him speak. How is that playing out now? Like, how did the market react to it? And will the Fed raise again?
Okay, so don't know about the second question, but I have some thoughts.
That's what I'm asking, your opinion, of course.
Absolutely. So the market just kind of shrugged it off and said, okay, this is exactly what we expected. It seems like the market, as do I, believes Powell and the Fed are done. If they're not at the end of their rope, they're very darn close. And they're about to lose grip on the end of the rope. They, you know, my big litmus test is, how much debt can you service at what rates? And at 5.5%, I believe we're either at or already exceeding the defense budget in terms of servicing $33.6 trillion in debt. They can't go higher. It's just not possible. Now, you may go higher despite that, and you know, despite us all, but I just don't think he can. And I think they're already, I said this on the panel, I believe it. I think the Fed is already broken the bank's balance sheets, and I don't think we've seen the last of what we saw in the first quarter, and I think he is breaking the back of the middle class right now. That's where I stand. The last thing they talked about, they were really strong about the resilient labor market, and you and I both know, I'm not an economist, I didn't stay at Holiday Inn Express last night, but the bottom line is, in a recession or when things recede, the last thing to recede is the labor market. Businesses are going to try and hold on to their personnel as long as they can, hoping for the turnaround. And at some point, they're going to say, that's it. I've got to let you go. And that's when we're going to see the labor market start to feel the pressure.
Well, we've gotten just this morning a somewhat disappointing jobs report.
Yeah. And still not that terrible, but the market didn't like it, clearly.
Yeah. Well, unemployment rate's 3.9% now, the highest it's been since sometime in July, or sometime in 2022. It's still full employment. It's still full employment. But you can, of course, break that down. How many people have two jobs, three jobs, and how does that all factor? And people that voluntarily left the labor force as well.
I'm glad you raised that. I think that's a big part of it. You know, people are not having the same jobs that they used to have. One job doesn't cut it. Two jobs, almost three jobs don't cut it anymore. And that's a big difference from the past.
Absolutely. I think there's been a big shift. Yeah. Right. How did gold react to everything? Like looking at the gold price this morning, so.
Yeah, well, gold shot up considerably today. Now, it did so early on the news, and then it receded a bit, but it didn't quite get over $2,000 an ounce. Silver had a much better day, and the dollar had a horrible day. Dollar dropped down, almost broke down through 105 on the index today. Between yesterday and today, I think it's down 160, 170 points. The point on gold, and I kind of expected it would run out of gas. We've talked about this offline. I don't think investors are in this market right now. I think investors, for the most part, are easing out of this market now because of the pain they're feeling trying to keep up with their expenses. Central banks, incredibly strong buying last year and again this year. Since October 7th, we've seen crisis buying and safe haven moves into gold. Gold shot up $160 an ounce in 2 weeks. However, I don't think without investors in this marketplace, coin and bar demand, that you are going to see sustainably higher prices over 2,000. I think you need them in this market to do that.
Yeah, the World Gold Council published their Q3 report, and I think that's what you're quoting here.
Yeah.
It's bar and coin demand is down 14% year over year. I think that's quite significant.
I'm seeing it empirically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we buy and sell with retail customers, and, you know, higher-end customers, well-heeled customers, are continuing to buy and have bought all along the way, and they should, right? Prices are fantastic here. Below 2,000, they're fantastic, even above 2,000, if you ask me. So they're continuing to buy, but those are folks that don't feel the pinch of this economy right now. Their assets are down a little bit, but it's not changing their lifestyle one iota. The middle class is sucking wind. So think about it. Everything that you need is up in value for the past couple of years. So the way we dealt with that 4 or 5 years ago as a consumer country is basically we cashed money out of our piggy bank, our home, refinancing. Now, if you try to refinance, you're going from 3 to 8%. Nobody's going to do that. That source of funding is cut off. Okay. The second step there is to go to individual credit. It's over $1 trillion. There's a reason that's going up. People are buying what they need on their credit cards. That doesn't last forever.
20% APR?
So now we're starting to see people selling off bits, not their full position, but bits of gold and silver to make ends meet. And, you know, we're seeing that at our firm. I've reached out to other dealers, getting confirmation that they're seeing that probably since about July on. And on top of that, what happens when demand drops? What happens to premiums?
They should drop as well.
They drop it. And guess what's happening to premiums?
No.
They're dropping.
Interesting.
So it's not just me and a couple dealers. Demand is dropping. Investors are not in this market. I think you need them in this market to go considerably higher.
That's the statement that stuck with me the most, actually, this week, is we have investors selling gold right now. Because $2,000 is probably too attractive. It's a very high price for gold, let's be realistic, and it's attractive to sell.
I don't think they're cashing out because they like the price. I think they're cashing out because they need to take care of something, and I think that's a big difference.
The price probably incentivizes to a degree as well.
Absolutely.
One question popped in my head. Like, I've seen a lot of TV commercials where you can buy furniture for 0% down for 6 months, and then you can still only pay 2% or nothing, or you get a free loan to buy furniture. Like, how is that going to play out? Because remember, RC Willie, 0%.
Yeah. Well, you can do that when your markups are like 100% or whatever they are. You know, in the gold business, we're dealing with like 1-2% premiums. Yeah. I can't do that.
No, but it's like, how is that playing out in the overall economy? Because we're feeling a credit crunch. We're at, as you said, like 5.25%, 5.5% now Fed fund rate. Like, RC Willie or any of the furniture stores, they need to borrow money to pay for furniture that they can sell at 0%.
I look at it in a different way. I don't know how it's going to play out. What I think is happening is that tells me that retailers are seeing the dent in things that are anything other than needs and necessities. And they're trying to give it away just so they can get some sales. So that tells me that the market, again, not as resilient, not as consumer driven as the Fed might have us believe. It tells me that it's only focusing on what they need and the wants. People are desperate to do business.
You briefly touched on silver. I want to follow up on that because we discussed that on the panel as well. And I said on the panel that silver can't catch a break, meaning gold-silver ratio is still at 86, 85. I haven't checked today. It might be a little different.
It came all the way down to like 85.9 today.
Oh, well, okay. So I was close.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
But gold is still the boss. Okay. It's a leading indicator or the leader in precious metals by far. What's your opinion on silver? How should it react?
Silver's going to catch up, and I'm excited. I mean, so the way I look at it is, for me, gold is your wealth insurance. It's your portfolio's insurance policy. If you want to protect your portfolio, you buy gold. There is no substitute. You know, silver for me is the better option for profit in precious metals, and it's because of the relationship it has with gold. So when the gold price turns the corner and heads into a bear market, it sets the trend, is the first to do it. Silver follows and outpaces to the downside, right? So it falls deeper. And then when gold turns up, starts moving up, sets the trend, silver follows and outpaces to the upside. We saw this in the last two bull markets. I expect we'll see it again. And I see a lot of energy building up in silver right now. And another panelist, Omar Ayales, just did an article for our newsletter, came out yesterday, Information Line. And basically he said that from his research and his technical analysis, we hit the bottom of this 7-year cycle in gold and silver, basically, last year. So silver will catch up. It's a smaller capitalized market, but once it gets going, it just takes off. And I don't see any reason why it won't happen again here. Great opportunity.
You mentioned energy and silver. Like, it brings me to maybe the last question here as well. It's like,
sure.
One thing I've picked up here as well from other attendees, it seems like there's a bit of a sense of urgency in how they're approaching the market.
Okay.
And like, just in conversations with a couple of the investors here, it's like, Kai, I'm actually here to buy something. Like, being it a mining stock, being it gold, because I see things on the horizon potentially sometime next year that I don't like.
Gotcha.
Is that something you're picking up here as well? Like, in comparison to last year, I don't think there was a sense of urgency. Everybody talked about the dollar's decline,
but there's more to it now.
There's more substance.
There's more of a sense of urgency. I tend not to react to that stuff. Yes, I feel the energy building up in silver. I think it's overdue to catch up to gold. It hasn't yet.
Not just in silver, just in general.
And that gets me excited, but, you know, I'm not a big fan of chasing prices anywhere, up or down. So my suggestion to people is, yes, we understand there are issues here. I think you're putting your head in the sand if you don't see them and you don't react to them. You don't have to rush and do it all today. Better to dollar cost average. Figure out a plan and work your plan. The opportunity in gold and silver is not going to disappear tomorrow. Take a look. You know, I always say, when in doubt, zoom out, right? So take a look at the long-term gold chart, the long-term silver chart. There's no question where this is going. And if you buy gold or silver for the right reasons, there's no such thing as the wrong time or the wrong price.
Fantastic. On that bombshell, Rich, we're going to end the conversation. Really appreciate it. Fantastic insights. Always love talking to bullion dealers as well, because you get a bit of a different perspective, of course, as well, because you're right next. You talk directly to the customer, to the end consumer. Fantastic. Rich, thank you so much for joining us here. And where can we find more of you? Like, how can we find you?
So if you want information, just send an email to asiinfo@assetstrategies.com. You can call us toll free. 800-831-0007. That's 10 better than James Bond.
And they get a hold of you?
Just ask for Rich.
Fantastic.
I'm the only Rich there.
Fantastic.
I was born rich, but I'm working at being wealthy.
Okay, so. There you go. Fantastic. Awesome. Everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in here. Soar Financially from New Orleans. I have to admit, I'm stuttering a little bit. It's been a long, long day. It's been a fantastic day. We've recorded some fantastic conversations. We just heard one. And we hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for joining us here. Make sure to hit that subscribe button, because I know 85% of you are not subscribed to the channel that are watching. Please change that, because we want to bring guests like Rich and others on the channel more frequently, of course, as well. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with lots more here from the Big Easy.